from the book, Memoirs of the Old Lady, Jamie Townsend, I just opened up to some notes.
Okay.
1983, Bono of the band U2 swung from the balcony, ran down the aisles of the Brady, waving a white flag during their last Tulsa concert today.
I was there. I saw it.
You did?
Yeah. He had in his mind that he was going to lower himself from the hand. I shouldn't tell a story because people will get the idea and they'll try this. So do not try this. But he lowered himself from the handrail on the center aisle down to the aisle beneath him. He practiced it at rehearsal. And he left stage, went around outside in the alley, came in the front door, and went up to the balcony, and then lowered himself. And the spotlight, well, the lights went on him, and of course, the audience was aghast that this was going on. And I think I was sitting in a seat in the aisle that he came down and went back on stage. It would be interesting to ask Mr. Bono about that, you know, years later, see if he still remembers that.
Alice Cooper celebrated his birthday in 1987 on the balcony of the Brady.
With a chainsaw and a birthday cake.
He requested the cake be cut with a chainsaw while a little person played an accordion. A death threat on Ronnie Dunn before a show caused him to perform in a bulletproof vest.
Now, Jamie Townsend has dug up some interesting trivia. I did not know that one.
Dolly Parton once used the Brady Theater for a full week of rehearsal before going on her national tour.
She was a lot of fun. And Red Skelton had a great run here. So before the casinos came in and started doing what we'll call baby boomer entertainment, there were no casinos to compete with during this time period you're talking about. So we were able to get Dolly Parton. We were able to get Red Skelton and artists like that, which if that was true today, they would probably go out and play at casinos.
My wife, Margaret, has always enjoyed, as I do, Nora Jones. And she opened her North American tour here in 2010.
She's been here, I think, three times.
Yeah. And her quote is, "We picked Tulsa because you guys are awesome. We've been here 4 days, and it's going to really be sad to leave, really." I think maybe we saw her the last time. There were some in the audience who kind of gave her a tough time, and she barked back at them.
Sure.
Right. Yes, what a great talent. You know, booking these people is a tough business.
Oh, so tough.
You perhaps were in it and maybe not in it.
That's correct. Yeah.
Why is it so tough?
It's hard to put it in just a few words, but one of the rules of booking a show is don't necessarily bring in an artist that you is your personal favorite. Because when you try doing that, about half the time it doesn't sell as well as you thought it would. So you're at the mercy of talent agencies, either in Los Angeles or Nashville, or in the old days, New York. They have a pretty good feeling of which artists are going to sell tickets for you. They have a feel for it because they've been, you know, representing these artists. The trick is getting the agencies to give the promoter, which would be me or anyone else who's bringing talent locally, get the agency to give you those really good artists. And it's kind of frustrating, and especially now with casinos competing against Tulsa Theater, it's not something that I wanted to pursue personally. It's a tough business. It's tough dealing with these people. So I have a partner out of Oklahoma City, DCF Concerts, who does the booking part of it now. My uncle once said about the promoting business, he says, it's the only business I've ever heard of where you hire someone to do a job for you, the artist, and then the next day you start working for them.
Hmm.
Because they're so picky about their needs and you know. And it is kind of an interesting thing about probably the motion picture business or the music business, either one, that you're dealing with artists who are famous. And yes, you're hiring them to come in, but their contracts require you to do all these things for them.
Like what?
I mean, most of the requests are sensible. They're you know, I'm concerned about audio. Their first concern is probably audio, that it be first rate. So they have lots of requirements about that, of what kind of audio systems they'll be playing through, lighting systems, and then secondarily the catering. If you show an artist a good dressing room and good food while they're here, that it makes your day go that much easier. It's some of the things that the general public probably doesn't think about. They want to be taken care of. They're out on the road. They're on a bus. They're going to another town the next day. It's really not that glamorous of a lifestyle as you would think.
Are they generally here at least 2-3 hours ahead of showtime, or does that vary?
Well, their crew will show up that morning to start setting up all their equipment. And then it depends. Sometimes the artists don't get here till 30 minutes prior to the show. Others will come in the afternoon and spend the whole afternoon here. But to answer your question, it's a tough the business of promoting talent, or buying talent as they call it now, is tough, and you don't always get exactly what you want. You sometimes hire an artist to come do something, and then it doesn't sell enough tickets, and you end up losing money on the show.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating.
Is there any act that you thought for sure this thing's going to be a sellout and it was a bomb?
Oh, well, Sarah McLachlan, and about 4 years ago, she was one of my favorites in the 90s, and it didn't sell well. We ended up losing on that show. I mean, there's a good example of a superstar, you would think, and a personal favorite. There's an example of that. It just didn't do well in the real world, and no one really knows why, other than she had her run in the 90s, and she's not the popular one now. But I still listen to her music. I have it on my iPhone, and I admire her greatly as an artist.
Here we are, November 14th, 2023. So in the coming weeks, months, can you name some that will be performing here?
Well, I can with the help of my little computer device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to cheat on you.
That's fine.
All right.
So from what it was to what it is now, these names.
In 2 days, the National. Now, that's an example of a talent that is fairly recent. In this business, if you can't promote artists who are current, it's great having old stars. It's great having, you know, Norah Jones or Dolly Parton or the old artists. But whether you're in the recording business or whether you're in the concert promotion business, you have to keep current with whatever is young audience members are wanting to see. A lot of it's hip-hop now. And the theater, you know, doesn't do a lot of hip-hop. But this group's called The National. They appeal to a younger audience. I'm looking forward to that. That's in 2 days, November 16th. Kansas, that would be a baby boomer act. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't done, you know, it's not going to sell out, let's just say. Where it would, in 1975, this would have been at the arena. It would have, I don't know if it was sold out, but it would have done very well. We've got a hip-hop show after that. We've got some Hispanic entertainment coming. A lot of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Leanne Morgan is going to do very well. There's a tribute show for Queen next year, which they've been here before. There's another tribute show that comes in that does Pink Floyd that's always very good.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're listening to Pink Floyd, they're that good. Here's the plug. You just need to go to the Tulsa Theater website.
Right.
There's a sold-out show next year called Bad Omens, which is a rock show. That's what makes it such a crazy business.
Mm-hmm.
Take 21 Pilots. They were here, I don't know, 8 years ago now. DCF Concerts booked them, let's say in the spring, and the concert didn't perform until late that fall. And when we booked them, they were coming on, but they were not a sellout type show back in the spring. By the time they got here, they were huge. They it was been sold out for months. It was a big show. That's what you want, and that's what you strive to do, and that's the frustrating thing when you're the talent buyer, is getting yourself in the situation where that happens.
Wow. Yeah.
Where you get them on the way up, and by the time they play, they become more popular. This probably happened more back in my generation growing up than it does anymore. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that is that it's so accessible now. Any bands can get their music, like I was saying earlier, out on YouTube or one of the internet outlets. And there's a ton of talent out there. Not to say that the talent's not good. It's just that it gets diluted when there are so many musicians trying to get their place out there. And what ends up happening is that the nightclub level of presenting live talent has grown much bigger than it used to be, mm-hmm. where you have smaller venues that can help these up-and-coming artists have a place to play, but it doesn't necessarily mean that 5 years from now that they're going to be stars.
Yep.
It just means they're running around right now and having a good time.